What are we doing that's going to outlast us?
Yeah.
The more I thought about that, then I was like, oh my gosh, my legacy would kind of stop with me. Literally, I was like, I do not like that. I feel like I'm about to start crying just thinking about it now. Like, it makes me very emotional.
When you get married, it's a sacrifice in itself to get married, where you're kind of like sacrificing yourself and your needs for your partner. It's another sacrifice to have kids, but it's also very much a privilege. So we just got back from a little date night that we had. We had some Italian food, some pizza, pasta,
rice balls
that had like roast beef in it. Was it roast beef? No, rib. Short rib in it.
Short rib.
And it was very delicious. But now we're kind of like in a food coma, so that's why we have coffee.
We're having a coffee chat.
A little coffee chat now at 10 p.m. Shout out to Piggly Wiggly, my neighborhood grocery store growing up.
So cute.
Comment if you even know what a Piggly Wiggly is.
Yeah.
Or if you have it in your own town.
I didn't grow up with Piggly Wiggly.
You didn't?
No.
What was your grocery store?
Dillon's. Walmart.
That's boring.
Yeah, that was it.
You didn't have a Trader Joe's? Oh. Almost just kicked your coffee all over the place.
Careful.
That would be naughty.
No, we did not grow up with Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
Trader
I didn't Joe's, either. I didn't even know what a Trader Joe's was until I got to New York.
My hometown didn't get a Trader Joe's until not that long ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I lived in Boston, that's when I discovered what Trader Joe's was.
Mm.
And then I promptly moved back to Oklahoma City, so then there was no more Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Then I moved here, and Trader Joe's was everything.
Trader Joe's was everything. I mean, it really is. Well, I grew up in Aldi, which apparently I think
some kind of connection.
Aldi and Trader Joe's same owners,
yeah.
Potentially. I think it is true. You can fact check me if that's true or not. But I'm pretty sure they are. But I grew up in Aldi, and it was kind of like the same deal. But then Trader Joe's kind of
a level
just
up.
Like it's just great. I mean, when I came to New York, I was like, wow, I don't really want anything else because all their branded, like all the Trader Joe's branded things are even good. Like so good.
It's
everything
is.
How's that coffee treating you?
It's good.
Yeah.
Very
I'm not
tasty.
Really feeling the kick at all, but hey, you
I,
know what?
I probably won't.
It's all right. We're going to buck up because we got some really good questions that we're going to answer about our pregnancy journey. And
it's honestly and more
by
about
our, I mean, Sarah, I know people get annoyed by that, but you know,
I mean, you're involved in the pregnancy as well,
right? Yes. Actually, how does that make you feel? Like if I say we're pregnant, is that like triggering or annoying for you?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Some people do.
No.
Some people don't like that.
No, it doesn't bother
like,
me at all.
Obviously I'm not pregnant and I know that. When I say we're pregnant, I obviously know that I am not pregnant and I do not have the same hand in this. But it is our baby.
Yeah. And it's our journey.
Right.
The pregnancy, while I am the one who's pregnant, it's still a pregnancy journey for both of us in my mind.
Yes, I agree.
There are questions about pregnancy, but it's honestly more about like kids in general.
Oh, okay.
Deciding to have kids. How do you know you're ready? Stuff like that.
Well, let's just go through them. Yeah.
I thought those were really interesting because we've had many conversations.
We have.
About that and like been in many different places in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to society and like the pressure to have kids,
mm-hmm.
or it's like once you get married, then people are like, when are you gonna have kids?
Mm-hmm. I think especially in Christian community,
yeah.
It's very much like, well, the
for
Bible
sure.
says procreate, so that it is your duty,
100%,
kind of thing. 100%. And so I feel like there's a lot of pressures in that community, especially, but I'm sure it's everywhere.
Or even like shame if you only are going to have one kid.
Mm.
Or it's mm-hmm. like, I'm like, everyone's choice is everyone's choice. Who am I to judge what someone chooses to do and how they want to live their life? Someone doesn't feel like they want to have kids, then like, clearly they feel that way for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, that's their choice.
Right.
Why am I going to judge them for that?
Right.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Why is that? Like, why does it matter so much to you?
Why do you
if
care?
If that person has a kid or not?
Right.
You know,
it's not your life.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Right. You go and have 5 or 10 more kids.
Yeah. 17 children if you want to.
Go for it.
Which again, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
More power to you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a really interesting question.
Okay.
Did you both always know you wanted kids? Any advice for a young couple who isn't sure?
Yeah, that is great. We've kind of gone on that journey. It was never the same. I don't think for either of us, it was like the same answer throughout our whole life. I think growing up, I was like, yes, because for that's sure. what I saw.
Of course.
And then I became an adult and I still wanted to be a father. And then I got married and then I just like really enjoyed our life and the freedom that we had and being able to travel when we wanted to and just the freedom. Yeah. And I liked our life where we're at. And I liked, financially where we were. Cause I know that, you know, a kid brings on another financial
responsibility.
Yeah. I think deep down, I still was always like, I still want to have kids. I just wish I was 25 yeah. or I wish I was 22 and like married to you with the same life experience and everything, you know, so that we could have 10 years to just like travel the world and be, not to say that like once you have a kid, you just like, you can't do that anymore.
No, of course not.
For the next 18 years. Cause that's not true. I think that you're able to still live your life. It's just,
you choose.
I think. And, but priorities do shift when for that sure. happens, I'm sure. Short answer would be, yes, I've always wanted to be a father,
but we
even
did
though
have,
there's stints where I was like, honestly, I could see a life without.
There are moments where we had conversations where it was like, what if we didn't?
Yeah.
Though, because it was just kind of like the next, that was always the next thing without necessarily thinking like, I don't know, for me, it's like, I never really thought, I just always knew I wanted them.
Right.
So then I never really thought, but like, do I? Or is that what I just what I think society wants me to do?
Yeah.
And so I just remember.
Did you ever feel any pressure from like family or anything to have kids?
No.
Yeah, I didn't really either, honestly.
No.
I never played with the idea of not having kids. And then when I did, I was like, huh, wow. I mean, I could see a life where that,
like, that would could be fun.
That could be fun. And that could be the case. And then we got pregnant. So I don't know what changed, I guess.
I think for me, the thought that I had was that like, if I don't have kids, like the thought of my family's lineage being done and that like really freaked me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, I really don't like
that. See, I have 13 nieces and nephews, so I wasn't really worried much about the family lineage.
Exactly.
Except for mine, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I guess my personal lineage.
Yeah.
You know, starting my own, even though it's still a part of the same family lineage.
Right.
It's like the idea of having somebody kind of carry on my name or, you know, what have you. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't realize that was the case for you.
Yeah. I like had that thought and was like, oh my gosh, if I don't have a kid, then like Shelton
stops
with me.
Cause there's no kids.
Because my dad's two sisters don't have kids.
Wow. You're right. I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
So that was the main, main reason.
Literally. I was like, I do not like that. I like feel like I'm about to start crying just thinking about it now. Like, it makes me very emotional. I don't know where that comes from. It's like, I think because we've thought so much about legacy and we talk so much about legacy and like, what are we doing that's going to outlast us?
Yeah.
Then the more I thought about that, then I was like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, I could have impact on people that will outlast me. But ultimately, like, my legacy would kind of stop with me. And that, like, I don't know, just really freaked me out.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
When you get married, it's like it's a sacrifice in itself to get married, where you're kind of like sacrificing yourself and your needs and different things that for your partner.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's another sacrifice.
Absolutely. It's just another layer
but it's
of
also very much a privilege.
Of course.
And it is. I feel, I mean, we aren't parents yet, but I've heard from a lot of parents and heard from a lot of very successful people that it's like one of the most fulfilling things that they've done. Mm-hmm. Like beyond people that are like multi millionaires, like people that have created major success in their businesses.
Yeah.
And
like influence.
And then they have kids and they're like, the things that I'm most proud of is being a father or, you know, raising my kids and having, you know, good, like daughters or sons with good values and, you know, what have you. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that that's probably true because there's just like a whole nother level of learning that you have to do when you are bringing up a human being,
yeah,
and teaching them your values, the values that you feel are going to be the most beneficial for their life.
Yep.
And that can be a lot, like that can be a big responsibility.
Yeah. It's just another layer of just like when you get married and you, it reveals to you new layers of selfishness where you're like, oh wow. Okay. I'm sure having a kid will do the same thing because it also, it's like
sacrifice and sleep.
We can say all day long, it's the values that we live by. But I think one of the biggest indicators of the values that people live by is how their children behave outside the home. Mm. Because then it's like what your kids see is what they will replicate outside of our home.
Yeah.
So it's like our kid will be the proof that we are who we say we are behind closed doors, you know?
Interesting.
Because we'll have eyes on us at all times. So our example will matter 24/7.
Yeah. And this is interesting because I think that's true to a point. And then I feel like it's based off of their surroundings and based off of who they hang out
with. Obviously, when they get older, then, they have other influences as they get older. Yeah. And it's they care more about their friends than their parents.
Right. Sure. But from like 0 to 7 or, you know, or I don't know. I don't know ages. Literally kids, zero to 5 or 6 or 7, I couldn't tell you. Like if I saw, I could see a newborn and
are
be like, okay.
Are you 1 or are you 6?
Okay, I guess between those two. But like, I mean, 1, 2, 3, I don't know.
I'm kind of the same.
I don't know.
Or I'm like, are you 6? Are you 4?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No clue.
I'm sure we'll learn.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get better at that because we'll learn more about like how kids develop.
Yep.
Because I don't know anything about, you know, like milestones that kids hit as they get older and
I mean,
when. And
we're already learning about how at 10 weeks it starts to produce urine, and then 12 weeks it starts to pee and like produce and like urine in the amniotic fluid, and then by week 20 it's basically just all pee.
We don't know that that's true.
And then the baby's just drinking.
We don't
pee.
Know that that's true, but if anyone has proof, if anyone knows if this is scientifically true,
don't you think
tell
that
us.
Like when your water breaks, that's just majority of it's pee?
No. Honestly, I've never thought about it.
It's not yours. I think it's the baby's.
The baby's pee is what happened. Again, someone out there who knows.
Fact check.
Help.
Fact check. We need more. In this whole episode, all the fact checkers, can you just like put in the comments?
Fact check us constantly
because
we don't know jack.
We may get some things wrong.
Some things. Any advice for a young couple who isn't sure?
If you have a faith, pray. Yeah. Pray on it. You know, if you have a faith of any kind, I would say to pray on it.
And let it be a choice that is made by the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't let anyone else pressure you to do a certain thing.
Yeah, don't let outside
or
people.
Feel like you're less than if you make a certain choice or whatever it may be. Like, because that's a personal decision and it should only be up to the two of you and God.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And having a period of time where you're kind of back and forth is okay. I think that's normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are, especially with like, how inflation has gone up, how the world is right now, that a common one is like, you know, what do you feel about bringing a kid into this world and like being scared that they won't be able to financially support, you know, a baby. And, I mean, my parents raised 6 kids on a teacher salary. I don't know how. But they did, and we didn't think anything of it as a kid. Like we knew we weren't rich or like super wealthy, but
we never had
that kind of thought. And so I don't know. I think you just kind of figure it out. And that's just what you do in life. Like you just make adjustments. You figure it out. You adjust. Every new season, no matter how, whether it's a kid or whether it's some other season that you're stepping into, you just figure it out because you have to.
Right.
To survive.
Yeah.
And you will. And it's going to be okay. Like, I think there's so much evidence of people around us that as long as you keep it alive, like, it's going to be okay. There's some people that were raised in a really rough upbringing with not great parents, maybe abusive parents or abusive upbringing that be gone on and became some really impactful people.
Yeah.
Like Tony Robbins, Oprah, there's a list. I mean, the list that goes on that had terrible upbringings that ended up becoming, I mean, some of the biggest impactful, you know, people.
Yeah. David Goggins is coming to mind.
David Goggins. I mean, there it's endless.
This is related.
Okay.
To the first question. When did you know you were ready to have kids? Have you ever been scared to have them? I'll say, I don't know if you ever know for with 100% certainty that you're ready.
I mean, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know if you ever feel that you're ready to have kids. I mean, maybe some people are like, I just always wanted kids. I always knew I wanted kids.
Yeah.
And so that's all well and good, but I don't know if you're like most people like us, I don't think you do. Like we would probably continue if it weren't for the biological clock, we would have just continued to push it off.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
100%. The only reason why I was like,
we need to like start trying.
We need to start trying.
Is because
I'm 35.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I don't want
to. If we were 25,
we would
not even be thinking about kids.
Not right now. At all.
And some people get like, some people at 18, 19, 20 are just like, all I want to be is a mom and have
which
kids,
is
which
amazing.
Is awesome. It's like, no, so cool. No, there's no judgment on that at all.
No,
like,
that's awesome.
It's just when, for us, we would push it off for as long as we possibly could just because we wanted to enjoy our singleness in our life.
Yeah. Or our marriedness.
Yeah. I know I always say singleness, but I meant like our marriedness without kids.
Yeah. The thing is like these days, not kids, but young people are not all, and obviously we only see what we see. So I can't make a generalization, but like when I was 20, I was a child. Like I was making no type of right adult decisions. I had no kind of financial anything. And that kind of was the same when I was in my late 20s. So it's just like, I only in the last 7 years of life have I like gotten my stuff together. Mm-hmm. And I'm 35. So it's
your shoot together.
Yeah. My shiitake, as Darren mushrooms. Hardy says.
Great mushrooms.
But it seems like young people these days are, there's just so much more. You can put yourself in such a better position so much earlier than you could.
More opportunity.
Right. There's more opportunity than when I was. Like I had no money when I was 20.
Yeah.
I had no money when I was 25. Like, so it's just one of those things. It's like everyone's journey.
Honestly,
is
it wasn't
so
until the last
different.
Like 3 years.
100%. 100%.
Like three to 5 years, really.
Have you been scared to have them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a scary thought to have kids.
Yeah.
For us at least, or for me, I can speak for myself. Even though I saw all of my brothers and sisters have 13 kids between three of them. Yeah. It's still just like,
and they have such great kids.
And they have great kids.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that gave me a little bit of solace and peace about it, but there's still a scariness of, man, are we going to like do a good
job? Right? Yeah. I actually haven't ever been scared of being a parent. Mm. I've been scared of pregnancy and giving birth, but not, I haven't ever had a thought of fear towards being a parent. A lot of questions about if our child will be in our content.
Hmm. Yeah. We kind of,
I think when like
been talking about
when
this.
We have a baby, like I'm not going to hide our baby's face.
I know that some creators do. Some creators put like the emoji over the face or whatever.
But again, it's just like a personal choice.
Yeah. It's totally
whatever people are comfortable with.
In my opinion, that creates more intrigue for the follower to want to know what our kid looks like, which I don't, and maybe it doesn't, but I don't necessarily want that. And like, if we didn't have a social media presence, we would put our family
for sure
on there all, you know, anyway, mm-hmm. because we would want a family photo or mm-hmm. anything. Now, when it comes to like, if our kid doesn't want, like has a conscience, you know, once it has a conscience or once it's able to like,
once he can make choices.
I was like, we know the gender now. Once he can make choices and he doesn't want to be in our content, he will never be in our content.
I also
we're
think
never
as a,
going to make our kid, we're never going to like say, hey, say this.
No.
We're never going to give him lines. We're never going to do that.
Or make like, him participate.
Or make him participate if he doesn't want to.
If he happens to have a bug for performing, like right, the two of us, and wants to, then by all means.
Watch us have an accountant or something. But I'd be shocked if he didn't have some sort of performing bug.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, could like be able to sing, but not want to have anything to do with that, you know?
Right.
But I also think like as a toddler, obviously before a child can make choices like that, I don't think I would. If it's like family focused or like lifestyle type content, yes. But like performative content, no, I don't think our kid would be involved until they were at a point where they're like, I want to do this with you guys, or I want to, you know, they have a say.
Right.
Lots of questions about anxiety during pregnancy since having a previous miscarriage.
It's all you.
Like, how do I keep my anxiety at bay during this pregnancy because of the previous miscarriage? And I think, I don't know.
Have you had any thought of it like lately?
No.
I'm assuming you have during this pregnancy, but then at what point did you kind of stop being worried about it?
Once we had our first ultrasound at 9 weeks and I saw it, that was when I was like, That was when I was like, okay, I can, like, I'm good. Even though I know you can still miscarry beyond 9 weeks, but I just felt much, much more at peace after that. And I also just am, I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Like I'm not an anxious person really at all. I haven't ever struggled with anxiety. I really don't get anxious. And so I have a very, for whatever reason, just the way that I'm wired, I have a very easy time when I start to have, if I start to have an anxious thought, I literally am just like, that's a lie. That's totally irrelevant. Like, I just kind of like pray it away. And for me, that works because I don't struggle with anxiety. I'm not saying that's everyone's situation, because I know that it's not. I'm thankful that I'm wired that way. So I haven't really been anxious. Like before that 9 week mark, I think I was trying not to get too excited. Which kind of leads to another question about how does a miscarriage temper your joy during this pregnancy? And also, how does it prepare you for more joy? I thought that was a really cool question. And I think before the 9 week mark, I definitely was sort of like keeping my excitement at a lid on my excitement. But then once that first ultrasound, I was kind of like, okay.
You took a breath.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I felt like I could get excited, be...
like allow yourself to get excited.
Yes, allow myself to get excited.
You didn't want to get your hopes too high.
Right.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
And that's the other thing is it's like, I don't know enough about miscarriage, fertility, infertility. I don't know enough about those things to really be able to justify anxious thoughts in my mind. And that's what I always go back to. Because I'm like, just because I had one miscarriage doesn't mean I'm going to have another one.
Sure. Yeah.
And honestly, maybe it does, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
I've never looked into that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you didn't rabbit hole.
No.
You didn't like go down this rabbit hole and Google. No,
I don't research stuff.
If I got a miscarriage, then how, like, what are the chances of me getting another one?
Right.
I just think that does not do you any service.
I don't Google anything. I never do about anything like that.
Personally, I don't think that does you any justice.
I think
something about ignorance is bliss.
In certain instances.
In certain instances. Agree. Sure, plenty of people would probably disagree and say that, well, no, it's important to prepare yourself mentally for that. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Exactly.
And so why would you spend the majority of your time worrying
about it? About it when it might not happen.
Right. And so let's say that it does.
Right.
Okay. Well, you spent that entire time worrying about it and then it also happened and now you're miserable as well.
Yeah.
as opposed to just like
having like hope during that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like choosing hope, choosing to be hopeful. Mm-hmm. You know, if it happens, then it's not like it lessens it, but at least the journey up until that point is not as miserable.
Right. Right. And I think like, so for me, because I didn't look up any of that stuff, mm-hmm. I like, even now in pregnancy, like I'm not Googling anything. I'm like,
for pregnancy.
I don't need to look that up. I'm good. Like,
yeah,
I'm good.
It's just, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you get like a, you have like a black spot or something on your heel,
right?
And you're like, if you have a black spot on your heel, what does that mean? You put that in Google, you're dying. You're going to die tomorrow. Yeah. Like, it's like, there's no point to doing that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that also helped me keep my thought patterns positive. Cause I was like, I don't know that having one miscarriage means I know tons of people who have had one miscarriage and they have kids.
Yeah.
So what is that?
And
what
does others that tell me? Who had five before they had a kid.
Yeah.
You just don't know your journey.
Right. Exactly. I think how does it prepare? Like how does having a miscarriage previously prepare you for more joy? I think it's just for me anyway, it's the gratitude of the gratitude for the pregnancy experience because
especially when you're like nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like to me, pregnancy is not like this romantic, fun, froofy time. Like I'd rather not be pregnant.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful for the fact that I can be, that I get to be.
Yeah.
But if there could be another way, I'd choose another way.
You mean to have a kid?
Yeah.
I mean, there are, you could adopt, you know, there are other ways you could.
Right.
But you mean like to have your kid?
Yeah.
Well, surrogate.
I know. It's expensive.
It is expensive. And honestly, all the power to those women that want to be a surrogate.
So much respect.
Because you must actually enjoy like the whole pregnancy journey.
Maybe. I would
actually. Or, you know, maybe you make a bank.
I need to talk to someone. But maybe it's a combination. Talk to someone who's a surrogate.
Yeah.
I would love to learn more about that.
Some women actually really enjoy being pregnant.
Yeah.
And like that whole journey.
Yeah.
I know one of our friends that we had a conversation with that she's just like, she had, I think, three kids mm-hmm. and said she just like loved being pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, great. I mean, that's awesome when that can be the case.
Absolutely.
But it's not the case for you.
No.
Like not having a ton of energy, being nauseous every night. It's like not the most enjoyable, but
no.
Like you talked about before, I feel like you have more of an appreciation or kind of like gratitude surrounding it because it's like, it means that everything is moving forward.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Like I have more joy surrounding that experience because it was taken away from me previously.
Right.
So now I'm just like really trying to appreciate every moment, even the moments where I'm like, this is annoying.
I know.
This is really annoying. And where I'm like in tears because
it's not fun to
not feel good.
Yeah, of course. It's hard to see it too and feel like I'm helpless in the moment.
Yeah.
And not be able to help. But I mean, it's true though that it goes fast. Like the fact that you are in your second trimester already,
I know,
is kind of crazy. It feels like only a couple weeks ago where we just announced that we were pregnant. Well, I guess we did, but yeah. Technically, but the fact, I mean that we found out
we've
that
known.
We were pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like a week ago or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It is going really fast.
Yeah.
For me.
It's going fast for me too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It is. It is definitely.
Like all of a sudden we're just like, we're going to have a mini me, you, a mini me, you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the name. Me, you.
Okay.
Well, we're moving on. we'll table that and we'll talk about that later. Wait, that's good though. A me, you. Me, you. You know, because it is me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you, me.
You, me.
You, me.
That's probably a name. That's
actually kind of cute. You, me. For like a girl, you, mm-hmm. me. Me, you. Me, you. You, me. I'm sure they're names actually.
Yeah.
Me, you. You, me.
Did you feel from the beginning that it was different from your first miscarriage? Honestly, no.
I felt the same.
I felt the same. Like up to
8 weeks.
I had the same like nausea feelings
at night too
that I did. Yeah. That I did last time. Mm-hmm. It didn't really feel different, which I think is also why I was like preventing myself from getting excited until we had that first ultrasound. Right. I was like, nothing feels different. But by the time we were at 9 weeks, like I had already, last time I had already miscarried before 9 weeks. So like right between 8 and 9 weeks. By the time we got to 9 weeks, I was like, okay, I believe it's going to be fine. And then we had the ultrasound and everything was good. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't. I had the exact same symptoms.
I think hearing the heartbeat was like another notch.
Totally.
At when was that? 11 weeks?
Yeah, I think so.
11 or 12?
Yeah, I think 11.
That was another notch and like...
things are moving along.
Yeah, yeah.
It is weird though, because you're like, how you doing in there? I have no clue. You know, it's like, it's not at the point where I can feel him moving or anything yet. Uh-huh. So it's just like, how's he doing? I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's doing.
He seems to be a wiggler.
Yeah.
And if he's a wiggler at like 8 and 9 months, you're going to have a time. Hands being pushed out and legs. I mean, yeah. It was doing like flips. The ultrasounds, he is moving, moving and grooving. Which makes sense if he's my child.
It does.
And your child.
It checks both, out.
I'm definitely more the fidgeter.
You're more wiggly. Literally feet bouncing on me currently.
Pray for patience for you. But I feel like I've been prepping you for a kid for your whole life. So it's going to be
Blessing. It would be a blessing. Honestly, then I'll just be like, you two go in that room and entertain each other. I'm going to be in here and be quiet for a little bit.
That's true.
Lots of questions about if we'll have more kids after this one.
I have no idea. I can't answer that for sure.
No clue.
I've always envisioned having 2 to 3 max. I don't think 3, to be honest, anymore.
I don't either, honestly.
2 is a possibility.
I think 2.
2 is a possibility.
Yeah, because I'm like the thought of being pregnant again is like, I don't know. So, I don't know.
They say you forget.
Literally the Bible says you forget.
It's true. It's
and
true.
I hold tight to that verse when I start to feel nervous about giving birth.
Right.
They do say that you forget.
Yeah.
Which we'll see if that proves to be true.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I have very strong feelings when it comes to my physical state. And so it's really hard to imagine forgetting about how physically held back I feel in pregnancy.
But I guess like time just passes on. Like once you feel good again, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't know what that experience is like. But
right. I mean, we'll see.
This is so cliche, but I would love to have a daughter.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I definitely I would love to also have a girl.
But apparently for Wallace's, our seed is heavy on the boys. Was that the Y or X?
Are we Y? It's Y.
Or Y?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy on the Y.
There were a lot of questions actually about like my workout routine pregnancy.
Yeah.
What kind of workouts I've been doing.
She's I was going to say a killer, but that's, that's kind of a weird thing to say.
I think that's a thing.
She's an animal. Sarah is, she is very dedicated on, yeah, yeah, if you know what I mean.
Stop.
Well, she's a cougar. We all know that. But outside of that, she's also very diligent in her workouts. And she has been even through her pregnancy. So
despite the fact that I have been nauseous, my nausea has always been at night. So I have been able to stay consistent with my workouts because I don't feel nauseous during the day.
Yeah.
Or like when I wake up in the morning. Which is nice.
Someone I guess if you were to pick to have nausea in the morning or night.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'd pick night for sure. Night. Yeah, I'd 100% pick night. Someone asked me, how do you work out with nausea? I said, I just can't. And I'm like, I wouldn't be able to either. I would not be able to work out while nauseous. Oh my gosh. You see me, like, I feel like you can tell immediately when I start to get nauseous, like my whole demeanor changes.
For sure.
And it's just like,
it's like, I was like, oh, okay. Let's sit on the couch.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't move.
Let's snack.
Yeah, like give me some nuts or like some sour cream and onion puffs. or something I can just continuously put into my mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a like a conveyor belt that just constantly goes.
If people out there work out while they're nauseous, that's impressive because I could not do that. But I have been able to stay consistent because it happens to me at night. And I've been doing a lot of, I discovered that Peloton has a bunch of prenatal workouts.
Yeah, somebody actually DM'd saying like, once you're at like week 20 on and it's starting to get harder, like Peloton has some specific ones for when you're like really pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I'm literally only 13 and a half weeks and I'm already doing the...
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm literally already doing the prenatal ones.
Sarah used to teach flywheel. So she's like...
Which is cycling if you never
Cycling. It's like SoulCycle or any of the cycling.
I love to cycle.
I'm not.
Why I've been doing the prenatal ones is because they say that when you're pregnant, you basically work out at like between 6 and 8. On your scale of 1 to 10, you stay between 6 and 8.
Got it.
It's very, very difficult for me to do that.
Because you always want to push yourself.
I want to go to 10. I want to go to 15. Mm-hmm. Because I normally work out at like a beyond 10.
Yeah.
The prenatal workouts help me stay where I need to stay because it's not that they're still difficult, but they're not as difficult as the non-prenatal classes.
Yeah. You don't want to go too crazy, right? Isn't that like, I don't know. I don't know. This is a question for me. Is it unhealthy? Is there like going too hard working out wise? Is there any like unhealthy potential for the baby?
Honestly, I don't know. I think you just don't want to stress your system out because it's already working much harder than it usually is.
Right, 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 right.
And you literally have more blood in your body than you normally do. So like what that does to your heart.
Yeah. And I guess your baby are like need fuel. Right.
But it's also, this is what I've heard a lot and what I've read in the things that I have read is like, it depends on what your body is used to, what you do before. Mm. So it's like pregnancy is not the time to start to push yourself in your workouts. But even on the Peloton prenatal workouts, the instructor says like, if you work out intensely, like you can push yourself to like that 8-9 range more frequently than like if you don't. Like if you normally work out at an 8, you should probably stay at 6 or even 5.
Got it.
In your pregnancy. But if you're normally at a 10.
So essentially it's because your body is used to that already. So it's not stressing it too much where it would, I guess, hinder the pregnancy or the baby in some way.
Yeah, or just have your body, I don't know, just be too much.
Yeah, yeah.
For your body. I don't know. Like I grew up dancing my whole life, so I feel like I'm very in tune with my body and like my breath. So I feel like I know when I'm pushing myself too hard.
Yeah.
And I can, and like when I go to the gym and take class, I do have to like hold back a little bit. Cause it's like,
you just get winded faster.
I can't do burpees for 2 straight minutes. Now the way that I can when I'm not pregnant.
Well, yeah, you definitely won't be able to the more you go on.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Unless there's a hole in the ground.
Yeah. Right. But I've been loving the prenatal Peloton workouts.
It's fun.
There's
some like prenatal stuff on YouTube that you can do, right?
There is.
Like prenatal workouts.
There is. I haven't done anything on YouTube. Everything on YouTube that I've been doing is what I normally do. I've just sort of like scaled back my intensity. Like I still love me some Caroline Gervin. She's very intense.
Shout out.
She's very intense, but I just take it back. Or I take like the weight that I'm lifting back a touch. Mm-hmm. I don't do like some of the like EMOM HIIT stuff that she does.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've just been like adjusting as I see fit.
And if you're wondering about my workout while she's pregnant, it hasn't changed much. I still kind of do the same workout that I have been doing.
This was a good one, also related to miscarriage that I accidentally skipped over. Okay. But someone said, what's the biggest thing the Lord taught you during the season of like post miscarriage?
Mm. Like in between miscarriage and your next pregnancy?
Yeah, that's a great question. Even think I've thought about like, what is the biggest thing that the Lord taught me? I think more about surrendering, because you really can't, like, I couldn't control the fact that I had a miscarriage. And just releasing that up to him, like, that the journey is the journey and I can only do what I can control.
Interesting that it's like a part of your story for a reason.
Right.
That's what we choose to believe. As woo-woo as that sound, like, that sounds to probably some people, and like, oh, that's so like positive thinking, and like toxic positive thinking. It's really not. It's not like we.
That's not toxic, because it's not something realistic.
We're not denying the fact that something tragic happened, and we still grieve,
right?
And we still go through that sadness, but we ultimately always have the lens of, well, this is, you know, this is a part of our story for a reason. We don't know what it is or why it is right now, but I believe we will, and maybe we won't.
Yeah.
We just believe that. And whether it's, that's, you know, a dumb thing to do, or that's, you call that, delusional, or
I don't
know if that's the right word.
It's not, you're not ignoring reality. I'm just living my reality through the lens of like faith and hope and expectation of goodness.
Right.
I don't think there's nothing toxic about that.
Because even, let's say that you get to the end of your life and you find out that it really wasn't for any reason. It was just like, you know, bad things that ended up happening to you for no reason at all. Okay, let's say that is true. Well, what did that change in my life?
Right.
Like I ended up living a more hopeful and a more peaceful, a more faith-filled and enjoyable life thinking that way, regardless.
Right.
If it ends up being a truth, you know, true or not. Because let's say the opposite. Let's say that I just like then continue to worry and continue to be anxious and continue to think, like, man, like things like this always happen to me. This always happens to me. And then you look for your, I think, RAS, reticular activating system. You literally find evidence to prove that thought true.
Yeah.
And you'll just continue to live that way. And then you get to the end of your life. And let's say that you find out, no, that was, the reason for that was so that it helped you go in this direction that was actually more towards your purpose, or, you know, different things like that. And you missed it all because you were choosing to see it as this always happens. And it's a victim thing. It can be hard if you're used to that thought process and that way of thinking and the way of speaking. But I think you got to start making those different grooves in your head.
Absolutely.
In your neural pathways, which can be hard if they're really deep.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to counseling or getting a different association or, you know, prayer, you know, whether you believe in a higher power, God, I would encourage you to explore it. You know, whether you believe in a higher power or not, I think it's really difficult to believe that there is no God when human life exists, and like the fact that you are growing a human in you,
what's going on in there is, and what pretty is miraculous. Happening
is a miracle. Yeah. I think there's a lot of power in prayer
and
surrendering.
Yep, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
like, how do we get here?
Surrendering, because it's true. Yes,
surrendering.
Ultimately, there's a lot of stuff that happens that that's out of your control.
Like, that's a continuous journey of being a human. Is like,
oh my gosh,
gotta do another layer of surrendering it up to you. And that is never ends. It never ends.
Anytime I'm feeling anxious or stressed about something, it's because I'm focused solely on things I can't control.
Yeah.
Outcomes that I can't control.
Yeah.
And so when I realize that, I have to literally like take a step back and like surrender it over and release it and just like put my reliance back on God, that he's going to provide and he'll take care of us. He, you know, and putting more of that faith and trust and practicing that,
yeah,
as opposed to putting all the pressure on me and my actions to, and the pressure of, I guess that's on, yeah, that you're just putting on you,
right,
to do everything.
Right.
And that's when I feel like I start to get anxious, is when I'm thinking about all the things that, like thinking about things I can't control.
When we get too wrapped up in just what we can do with our human efforts, mm-hmm, I think that's where it can get just very like rabbit holey, because we can only do so much. And thankfully, our God is a God of multiplication, and he can multiply our efforts beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And that's just what I always pray for in all areas of our life.
Yeah.
It's like, take my efforts and multiply them, because you are an exponential God, and you can take my tiny bit of human effort and turn it into something amazing through your power. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to be used for, is that my little bit of human effort was able to be used by him to do something that I could have never done on my own, including having a human come out of my body.
Yeah, you can't think about that too much.
Kind of along those same lines, someone asked like any scriptures I've been leaning on or that I leaned on through miscarriage. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with what the Lord taught me. And a friend of mine sent me a necklace after I had the miscarriage that had a little, it's really cool. It's like a rectangular glass bar, and it has a mustard seed in it, a tiny mustard seed. And I think that's such a powerful reminder of when you see it in the physical, when you see a mustard seed in the physical, and it's like, that's literally the only thing that I need. That's the amount of faith that I need, is that small for God to take it and multiply it, mm-hmm, and do amazing things with my tiny bit of human faith. And so going back to like how the Bible talks about that, just a little mustard seed of faith is all you need. I think that's been a big thing for me. 'Cause I'm like, I can at least have that. Even in my darkest moments, I can at least have a mustard seed of faith.
Yeah.
And that's all that I need.
Yeah.
That's all that I need.
Faith can be so powerful. And I think it can be difficult for a lot of people, because you can't have faith if you absolutely know something.
Nope.
So if you know something is true, or if you know something is a fact because you see it,
or something is guaranteed,
that doesn't require any faith. And it's hard for people that need that. Again, I'm just going to go back to this. If you live your whole life with that kind of philosophy and that thought process of, I just like, you're like having faith of like, I just believe that if I have faith that everything is going to work out and this type of things, and you get to the end of your life and none of it is true. Like our faith isn't true. None of it is true. We lived just a lot more. Like what did we lose, right, in our life?
Yeah.
What did we lose? Mm-hmm. We didn't lose anything.
Nothing.
With that thought process alone, yeah, you know, and let's say that we're wrong. We end up being wrong and it's all a bunch of hoey balooey. We didn't lose anything, and we lived actually a lot more. I'm not saying we're not perfect in any way, but we've lived a more peaceful life,
mm-hmm,
and fulfilling life. And it kind of is a choice. Would you say?
I would say.
Is, like, is faith a choice?
It is a choice that requires.
It's an interesting question. I've never actually thought that.
I do think it's a choice, but it's a choice that requires work, in my opinion.
I mean, absolutely. You have to choose it every day.
Mm-hmm. And you have to choose to see it in your life. You have to choose to look at past circumstances and find it, mm-hmm, in your past circumstances, even if they weren't ideal. You have to see the little bits there. Versus seeing the negative parts, mm-hmm, of your past or your current circumstances. You have to choose to see where things have gone right, where even things that weren't necessarily, maybe you didn't control them, but they still went, they went right, or they went right in a way that was different than the way that you were trying to make them go, mm-hmm. you know? So I do think it's a choice, but it's a choice that requires intentional work and really intentional thought life.
Yeah.
Very just think, we talk about this all the time, but thinking about the thoughts that you're having.
Think about what you think.
Think about what you think about.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll end it there.
I'm winded. I'm just sitting here.
I know you do that when you talk. You forget to breathe.
I'm blaming the pizza.
That pizza was good.
It was very good.
We had it, like, this pizza was like, was it soppressata?
I think so.
Soppressata. What was the cheese? Ricotta?
Just mozzarella.
Oh, mozzarella?
Yeah.
Soppressata, mozzarella, and like a spicy
honey something.
But it wasn't honey.
I think it was some sweet, like agave type thing.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was like a sweet
spicy
agave. Yeah. So it was really good. So good. I love like a sweet, spicy, savory, and it was really good. There's some arugula on there as well.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I like always enjoy these conversations with you.
Me too.
And just, I have fun doing this with you. And
I do too.
We are just so grateful to everyone who listens. Oh. Because this is something like, this is a project that is truly, Micah felt called to do it. And when he shared that with me, I was all about it, because it really is. We just hope that if you're out there, if you're going through something, or if you have gone through something, you know that like, you're just having a normal human experience. Like you're just a human being. If you're having anxiety, if you're depressed about something, if you're grieving something, like, it's all part of being human. I think sometimes when we have those negative experiences, we think that there's, especially if they maybe go on longer than we think they're supposed to go on for, we think there's something wrong with us. And just want to tell you that there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a human living the human experience. And if you're doing the best you can, that's all that you can do. And we're rooting for you. We pray over like the people who engage with us on our platforms. And if I've ever sent you a message saying that I've prayed for you, I have prayed for you. Because it means so much to us that you engage in our content with us.
It really does. We wouldn't be able to do a lot of what we do without you guys. And mm-hmm. So with that, subscribe. As much as I'm kind of joking, it really does help out the algorithm and help it out. And like, we would love for this to get in front of more eyes, just mm-hmm. because we feel like we talk about things that can help a lot of people. And so if you could subscribe, share this with somebody that you feel would benefit from this, that's all we ask.
We love you.
And we like to end our podcast, as always, by saying,
goodbye.
Honestly, that might have been our best one yet.
I think it probably was.
It like started dissonant and like very uh-huh. eerie, uh-huh. but then turned into something beautiful. Because like
I stayed on the same note.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Bye.